This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
In Ireland, when a child is put in the care of the state, they are usually placed in foster homes or residential care settings. But in recent years, increasing demand on the care system has led the state to rely heavily on what it calls special emergency arrangements. These are run by private companies who accommodate children in hotels, B&Bs, or private rentals.
You know, some of the locations of these rental properties that I've come across have been, you know, very rural locations, likely a considerable distance away from, you know, the child's community.
In his investigations into state care, Irish Times reporter Jack Power has discovered that in some care settings, children were looked after by staff who had not completed the necessary background checks.
Pre-employment screening of staff and candidates who were looking to be care workers for this company had been fabricated. References hadn't been checked, they'd been falsified. Garda vetting records had been altered post-issue.
How is this allowed to happen? And what has TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, done about it? This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, the scandalous state of emergency care for children. Jack, for months now, you have been investigating how children in state care are accommodated by TUSLA, that's the Child and Family Agency, and you've reported on how it often turns to unregulated emergency accommodation to care for vulnerable children. And that's because of the unprecedented demands on the system. But last week, you uncovered some really disturbing details about one particular care company, which was providing emergency care for children up until last April. Can you tell me what you found out about Ideal Care Services?
So this is a company that had been providing services for TUSLA since around 2018, but really ramped up the amount of money they were making from TUSLA from 2020 onwards. And they were basically providing these, what TUSLA call special emergency arrangements. So this is where when a child is taken into state care, but there's no available placement with a foster carer or in a regulated residential group home. So what's begun to emerge in the last 2 years is TUSLA has relied on this unregulated emergency accommodation. Generally, this accommodation would be maybe a rental property, often in sometimes rural areas, so it'd be a semi-D that you'd have one young person placed into it and then they'd have staff on site, staff from this private provider who'd be running it. So one thing that we found, we got hold of an internal report that TUSLA had carried out after inspectors went into Ideal Care in early 2023. And this report was incredibly stark in its findings. It found that the pre-employment screening of staff and candidates who were looking to be care workers for this company had been fabricated by the company. References hadn't been checked. They'd been falsified. Garda vetting records had been altered post-issue, which the report said was potentially a breach of the Vetting Act and unlawful. So it found really a total failure of this company over a two-year period to properly conduct checks on the staff that it was employing to care for these vulnerable children, the most vulnerable children in the state.
And you spoke to someone who had previously worked for Ideal Care Services, a whistleblower in effect. What do they tell you about how the homes were run?
The sense really I got from speaking to that person on the inside was a sense of chaos, a really poor record keeping, files not being kept correctly and updated for children that were taken into their care and being accommodated. In certain circumstances, this led to issues where children would go missing, as often children do from state care, and that has to be reported to the guards. But this lack of proper record keeping meant that there were serious issues with the quality of information that could be provided to the guards about the child that had gone missing, which obviously inhibited the guards' ability to locate that child safely.
So tell me, who is behind Ideal Care Services?
So the company was set up and owned by a man called Jossie Akwubi. He's a businessman in Tyrrellstown, and he's also a pastor with an evangelical group in West Dublin as well. So he set up the company accounts and shares show that he owns it, and he was listed as the director of operations along with his wife Karen, who was the director of services. So the two of them ran this company effectively.
So Akubi, as you say, is a pastor, but does he have qualifications in the care service, or typically are these companies set up just by business people?
A lot of them, and I've gone through the records of a lot of the other companies that have branched out into this field. Some of them will have worked in the care system before and effectively, I suppose, seen an opening where they can strike out on their own, set up their own company, and very quickly find themselves in receipt of, you know, several million euro in funding from TUSLA on an annual basis, in some cases resulting in significant profits. But in relation to Ideal Care, Jossie, the owner and the director, his background was as a manager in the Peter McVeigh Trust, where he worked for several years up until around January 2020, we've established.
And I think maybe to give our listeners an idea of how big the service was, TUSLA paid nearly 9 million euro to Ideal Care between 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, so they were one of the top providers of this emergency accommodation, which TUSLA in recent years has been increasingly relying upon.
So you have been digging a little deeper into Jossie Akubi and his businesses, and you found there was a UK connection.
Yeah, so he's also the director of a company in the UK that provides home care support on behalf of local authorities there to the elderly and people with disabilities, people with mental health issues. And interestingly, I also found there was issues with that company in relation to staff checks and vetting. An inspection by the healthcare regulator over in England found the vetting practices in that company called Tender Hands Home Care were also unsafe, and that there was also issues around things not being followed up and issues around staff vetting.
When the arrangement with TUSLA and Ideal Care was terminated last year, Jossie Akubi and Karen Akubi, who were the partners in that company, they set up another company, a similar company, but with a different name, offering also to provide care. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so after TUSLA cut ties with Ideal Care, the pair behind it set up another company called Iuntafa Care Limited, with the intention, I found out through our inquiries, of trying to register to provide regulated care homes. So not emergency accommodation, but more stable group homes for children taken into state care. So I found that particularly interesting. After one avenue was cut off to them, they sought to provide care on behalf of TUSLA through a different company. I believe they were unsuccessful in that effort. TUSLA, in response to queries that we put to them, said that they never have had any contractual relationships with this new company. So I understand that, as our reporting in recent weeks broke, they had been in the process of trying to apply to TUSLA for permission to open up regulated group care homes for children. And I imagine I would find it hard to believe that they'll get that permission from TUSLA, given everything we've reported in recent weeks.
Do you know what happened to the staff of Ideal Care Services when TUSLA withdrew all their funding?
Yeah, I'd imagine some of them went to work in other similar companies providing this type of emergency care. You'd find, or what I found kind of looking into this, is in a lot of cases people might have had two jobs in the health sector. So they might have been working and providing some care for Ideal Care, and they might have also been working as an agency employee for another healthcare company.
And of course, these are children in very, very vulnerable situations. Do we know what happened to them? That presumably they were in the care of Ideal Care Services for 1-2 years maybe. Do we know what happened?
So often they'll be probably moved to a similar arrangement. TUSLA effectively, and just to give some kind of context to these special emergency arrangements, at the moment there's around 180 children in this unregulated emergency accommodation. I remember when I started reporting on this issue back a few years ago, that number was only 60. So we've seen a steady year on year, you know, nearly month on month increase in the number of children in these arrangements. And often these arrangements will be ideally for a period of days or weeks. But what will happen in practice is that they'll be rolled over and children will end up living in these inappropriate settings for months on end. So in a lot of cases, I would imagine where special emergency arrangements run by Ideal Care were shut down, children were likely placed into similar unregulated accommodation run by another provider.
I'll continue my conversation with Jack Power after this short break.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Now, the findings from Ideal Care Services came to light as part of a wider review by TUSLA into these special emergency arrangements, as you say they're called. What are some of the other issues uncovered at the other providers?
Yeah, so I spoke to people who worked inside TUSLA for a period overseeing this accommodation. Some of the other things they said would be issues around, you know, kind of staff double jobbing in terms of the actual accommodation, the standards of the properties people were placed into being really, really poor, issues around children, you know, having to share beds. So there's a lot of problems with this emergency system that has been created and ballooned in recent years. And it's a lot wider than just Ideal Care Services.
So is it a case that a child who is in a very vulnerable position, a social worker calls one of these services like Ideal Care Services, and then the child is taken to maybe a B&B to be looked after by care staff, maybe to a rental to be looked after by care staff?
Yeah, so it can range from, you know, being placed in a hotel for a night, a B&B for a night, or a rental property. You know, some of the locations of these rental properties that I've come across have been, you know, very rural locations, likely a considerable distance away from, you know, the child's community. And one other issue that has possibly gotten lost in the noise on this as well is that a lot of these children are also unaccompanied minors, asylum seekers who've come to the country without guardians who are under 18. So you can imagine, you know, possibly the most vulnerable cohort of children in the care system. And they've been placed into this emergency system where, you know, they mightn't have a good grasp of even the English language. You can imagine how, you know, difficult it would be to navigate in the best of times. And suddenly they're placed in this rental house down the country somewhere with staff, you know, changing day in, day out. You'd imagine it's one of the most vulnerable positions, you know, a child could be in.
Now, you reported something that I found particularly shocking. The TUSLA, when they were, I don't know, contracting care out to these companies, they didn't actually check the qualifications of the staff. They didn't check procedures were in place, proper procedures were in place. It was only when TUSLA thought, okay, maybe we shouldn't take people on their merit. Maybe we should actually put an audit system in place to check qualifications, to check that vetting has happened and all that.
Yeah, this is one of the things that emerged on foot of our reporting that TUSLA had said at the start, when there was a lot of these companies very quickly moving into this sphere, that they effectively took people's word that everything was in order when it came to vetting, when it came to staff qualifications, all of that. And now TUSLA, I suppose, have been woken up to some of the issues around the lack of bona fides in respect of Ideal Care, that they are much more aware and conscious of trying to provide more oversight and auditing of these companies. But what I would say as well is we requested under the Freedom of Information Act a copy of many, many audit reports internally that TUSLA had carried out into these companies, including Ideal Care. And TUSLA refused to release copies of those audits to us, saying it wouldn't be in the public interest if that information was disclosed in the media.
And you would disagree. You would say it is in the public interest.
Well, I think we've seen with the Ideal Care example, we've seen a situation where there were serious issues with the care being provided and the standards of the company. TUSLA, for example, publishes inspections of regulated care homes. You know, HICWA publishes inspections of nursing homes. I find it hard to see the reason why TUSLA are keeping the audits of all these other companies involved in this emergency accommodation under wraps, effectively.
Why, though, Jack, is the state turning to private companies and special emergency arrangements, as they're called, to provide this care?
This problem has been brewing for several years now at this point. We've had a chronic lack of people fostering children and a shortage of foster carers. So that side of the system, which usually accounts for about 90% of the children in care will be in foster care, that's at capacity. And then the smaller cohort of the official residential care system, which would be kind of group care homes, either run directly by TUSLA, run by a voluntary provider, or run by a private company, that system is also at capacity. And there's basically no space, no room to put these new children who've been taken into care or have arrived into the country without guardians. There's no space for them in these group homes or with foster carers. And so what's happened increasingly is TUSLA has leaned on these new companies that have come into the breach and set up and suddenly find themselves, you know, making multi-million profits in some cases because they're filling a gap. But the problem effectively is, as we've seen with Ideal Care, I don't know how well TUSLA can stand over the quality of the care provided in this emergency arrangements.
So you've shone a spotlight onto this crisis. How is TUSLA handling the crisis within the system?
So TUSLA, a few months ago, set up an internal crisis management team to deal specifically with these special emergency arrangements. They've said they're trying to recruit more staff. They're trying to buy more properties that they will directly run as care homes themselves. They're trying to fund the normal and official, I suppose, regulated residential sector, giving those private and voluntary providers more funds to try and open up more beds, and with the overall intention of reducing the number of children in these emergency arrangements. But at the moment, you know, despite TUSLA's somewhat best efforts, the numbers are only going in one direction. We're only seeing more children placed into these emergency, unsuitable and inappropriate placements rather than less.
And as you say, the key here is private providers, because the money sloshing around is so immense. But in Wales, the government there, it's bringing in legislation to remove profit from the care of children, stopping private companies from earning huge money for providing care. Can you see this as being something that would be brought into Ireland ever, let alone considered, or is just too big now? Is the private sector just too big?
I suppose it is. It would take a long time for TUSLA to draw down its reliance on the private sector, and not even in this new emergency private sector that has emerged in recent years, in the more regulated private sector. I mean, TUSLA has only opened up a very small number of new residential centres that it runs directly itself. It's much more relied upon private and voluntary providers to open up new homes which it will place children in care into. And TUSLA has said, I think it was about maybe a year and a half ago, they said that they were going to try and move towards having a more kind of 50-50 split of ones and homes run directly by TUSLA and ones run by private or voluntary providers. But there hasn't been much moving of the dial or the needle on that to date. You know, TUSLA is still overwhelmingly reliant on private companies to run care homes for children in the care of the state.
Has Jossie Akwuba said anything about your reporting?
No, so I contacted him obviously at the start of our reporting, and I was in touch with him. And as soon as he, you know, grasped what I was asking about in terms of the findings of this deeply critical TUSLA review, you know, he said he didn't want to comment on that. And subsequent efforts to contact him or to seek right of reply from him have been met with silence.
Thanks very much, Jack. That's it for today. For more reports by Jack Power on scandals in the care sector, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by Suzanne Brennan. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.